Phone the comment line 1850 715 900.
Many of us love hot buttery toast or a tasty ham and cheese sandwich, but do we actually know what's in those slices of bread? Now a top food writer is calling for commercially produced white bread to be banned, saying it lacks any real nutrition and that it contains additives that consumers might not even be aware of. I'm joined now by John McKenna, author of many guidebooks on Irish food and restaurants, and also by Gordon Poulsen. He's director of the Federation of Bakers in the United Kingdom. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
John.
Good morning.
First of all, what exactly is your problem with commercially produced white bread?
Well, I mean, what happened more than 50 years ago, Sean, was that the way people had made bread for centuries changed when an industrial system known as the Chorleywood system came into operation. And, I mean, basically what bread needs is flour, salt, water, yeast and thyme. And the Chorleywood system took thyme out of the equation. So where a bread should be naturally leavened and fermented, what you're getting now is a bread that's highly processed, made in super quick time, and as a result actually has none of the goodness for you that we kind of expect of the staff of life.
You've got to explain a little bit more. I mean, if this Chorleywood system, which you say in a piece in the Irish Times yesterday, produces thousands of loaves in 3.5 hours from start to finish, I mean, if it took 6 hours with the same ingredients, would that make any difference? Would that make it better?
Well, it would, yes, because you would get then a bread that is actually good for your health, for what we call the microbiome, which is to say it would be a bread then that would potentially feed the hundreds of billions of bacteria that are in our stomachs. But the problem actually goes back even before the Chorleywood system, because what we're getting in the developed Western world is very intensively produced flours. They're grown for yield, they're hyper-processed, and consequently, when you have those flours, you wind up with a white flour that essentially is essentially neutral. So what happens is the millers have to start adding elements that they've taken out of the flour. They have to start adding them back in. And with them, they add what they call improvers. And these are things that people really don't know about that are in their bread. They're the things that keep the bread from ever going stale. They're the stuff that keeps the bread from going moldy. And so consequently, what you get is, you know, you think you're buying the staff of life and it's pure as the driven snow. But in fact, it's the most highly processed, industrialized thing that you can actually eat.
What are those additives then, those improvers, to use that word?
Well, I mean, there are a whole series of things, you know, like isocysteine or E481, sodium stearoyl 2, lactylate. There's a whole bunch of them that are used under the name of improvers. And it's one of the things that has happened in over the last 20 or more years. As real bakers have come into the market, you know, they have identified these kind of things like E220 or E260, acetic acid, you know, diacetyl tartaric esters and so on. All of this junk is not necessary in bread. Bread really, as I say, should have four ingredients and thyme. And the interesting thing about what has happened in the last two decades, and in particularly in the last 12 or more years in Ireland, is the growth of a coterie of bakers who say, we're not going to use any of this stuff. We're going to use natural ingredients, plus thyme, plus the best flours that we can get for human health. Because we eat bread not just to sate our appetite, but to maintain our health. And that's where it plays a pivotal role. And that's where industrial bread falls down.
Gordon Poulsen, director of the Federation of Bakers in the UK. Is the stuff just full of junk?
Well, no, it's not full of junk, and it is very nutritionally beneficial. I mean, I think the first thing I would want to say is that all bread is good. That's a fundamental starting point, and most, you know, bread is fundamentally made from the same ingredients: flour, water, yeast, and usually a little salt. However it is made. But really, it seems to me that the piece that was written and some of the comments that have been made are really what I would call an opinion piece, as opposed to really being based on, you know, facts or science. I mean, it is quite clear. You only need to look at any nutritional publication. You only need to speak to any dietitian or nutritionist. Indeed, you know, there have been studies being conducted in Ireland as well, specifically, which demonstrate the nutritional benefits that people get from bread and get from all bread.
Well, what about the additives? Sorry to cut across you, Gordon. John identifies as sodium stearoyl 2 lactylate, or is it L-cysteine?
Well, let's just think about how bread is produced. All the Chorley Wood bread process was specifically was high speed mixing. That is actually the only difference. There is very little bread, I think, that is made that isn't actually mixed. Then, if you actually look at what there are some of these additives in bread, the vast majority of bakers add these additives. This idea that it is only these additives are only in sliced and wrapped bread is simply not the case. You know, ascorbic acid being one of the sort of classic products which is put in most bread, and you know, and it is there for a good reason, but it's there in very, very tiny quantities, and it is all clearly labelled on the product. So I don't accept that bread and white bread is nutritionally inferior, and I do think that the way that bread is produced, it is producing a good value product, you know, for consumers, which consumers eat in their millions.
John McKenna.
Well, you know, Sean, the reality of bread, of modern bread processed by the Chorley Wood system, is that real bakers, by which I mean bakers who give bread time to rise and who use good flour to begin with, they actually call the Chorley Wood bread water standing upright, because essentially what you have with that bread is you have so much yeast in it, agitated at such high speeds, that essentially it's an arrangement of water molecules standing one on top of the other. Gordon says here that, you know, all bread is good. That is a shocking thing to say, because at most bread that is industrially produced is of no nutritional benefit to the people who eat it whatsoever. And it's precisely for these reasons.
That's not true. That statement is just not true. It's not nutritionally beneficial. That's not true.
How do you substantiate that? Gordon, you know as well as I do that for 40 years and more in the UK, there have been campaigns for real bread that have pointed out the issues that are the perils of processed bread, and urging governments and so on to kind of legislate
The Bread Matters campaigns
run by Andrew Whitley and so on. These have been going on for decades, and you know, these bakers are
Give me the example of bread that's not nutritionally beneficial. Show me that evidence.
You can say, because it's got sort of flour and yeast and water and salt, that it is of some benefit. What I'm saying is, it's not the staff of life that you purport and say that it is. It is a poorly conceived and badly produced food that is of marginal benefit to human health.
Well, what about the analysis that shows they give 10% of adult dietary intake of calcium, iron, zinc, magnesium, copper, selenium, B vitamins? I mean, is that not nutritionally beneficial? Are people getting benefits from that?
I mean, my suggestion would be go and eat a carrot or an apple, because that will be a lot better for you, and it doesn't contain all those E numbers.
What do you mean by all these E numbers?
Well, how many? I mean, are you telling me, for example, that there isn't about a cocktail of 6 or 8 different E numbers and other additives in industrially produced bread in Ireland and the UK? Is there not E472E? Is there no E290, E260? I mean, you admitted, I think, that there is.
What you will find.
E300. You admitted there is 300. What other E numbers are in the loaves? Can you tell me? You're the expert.
You will find that they are as that different products have different additives in it. There is no doubt about that. And some of those are in. So let me finish. Some of those are in some products. We don't deny it. It's on the label. We don't deny it. We don't try to hide it. Then I think you have to sort of try and understand. Well, one is that they are not just in the sliced and wrapped bread. They are in lots of breads. Secondly, then examine. Well, why are they there? If you try to think of yourself when you actually bake at home, and you actually, you know, use self-raising flour or bicarbonate of soda, etc., why do you put these additives in your home baking? You do it to give your baking consistency, to give it a little lift. That's exactly why these additives are in bread. They're there in very tiny quantities, and they're there to enable the producers to produce bread on a consistent basis, yes, because we produce a lot of it, And also to be able to do so, you know, on a large scale. Yes, freely admit that. But what I don't accept is that it's nutritionally deficient, and I don't accept that these things are actually doing any harm.
Well, Gordon, have you heard the expression water standing upright? Would you think there's any substance to people saying that that's actually what the commercial loaf is?
That's an opinion. That's a comment. That doesn't sort of stand up to any sort of analysis. I mean, people can say anything they want about anything. That doesn't really get us anywhere. And I think, actually, what we should actually all be doing is actually reminding consumers of the value of eating bread and the value that contributes to the diet. Well, any nutritionist will tell you that a third of your diet should be made up of complex carbohydrates, of which bread is a very important part of, and let consumers decide which products that they want to eat, but do so on a basis of accurate analysis and not just opinions and comments like the one you just made.
John McKenna, would you not accept that if this thing was as bad as you say it is, this Charleywood system, and it's been on the go for 50 years now, people would be either dying of starvation or dying of damage? I mean, you talk about this sign that's down there beside the bridge there in the Claddagh in Galway saying, do not feed white yeast, stale or moulded bread to the swans. Well, what suits swans or doesn't suit them doesn't necessarily suit or not suit human beings.
No, that's absolutely true, Sean. Though that was the point that kind of got me thinking. I took that photograph back in March of this year at the Galway Food Festival, and that was the thing that really kind of got me first thinking about bread, even though I've written about it and baked it for many years now. But yes, obviously, I mean, if bread were bad for human health, then it would be, you know, people would be dropping in the streets and the governments would be actually doing something about it. What I'm saying is the situation that's since 1961, since the 60s and the industrialized system, that the bread that has been produced is actually not good for human health. I'm not saying it's bad for human health. And the reason why I think it's important to point out is that we now actually have the alternative, thanks to craft bakeries in Ireland, of actually getting bread that is really good for us and good for our families.
That's fine, John, but what about the price?
I mean, the price, Sean, is the price of your health and your family's health, because that was where this issue really started out.
No, if you have to pay twice as much in the craft bakers as you do in your local supermarket for the standard sliced pan, well, that actually does make a difference.
Well, to most people, no, it doesn't, because the price of bread is actually extremely low. So even if you buy, you know, the best loaf from Tartine Bakery in Dublin, it's still actually very, very inexpensive in terms of the expertise required to actually make it. So, I mean, let's keep some perspective on here. When people start talking here about cheap food, there is no thing really as cheap food. But bread, in terms of the actual cost of it, is actually at the very, very low scale, even for very, very fine breads indeed. So, you know, the argument about money really doesn't cut it at all, as far as I'm concerned. Either you want to buy something that's the staff of life, or you don't.
Would you believe that the study that we did, which demonstrated that if you actually made bread with various different methods, you can call it Charleywood if you like, and actually the Charleywood thing is actually a misnomer. All that happened then, as I said, was the introduction of a high speed mixer. The bread has fundamentally been made in the same way for decades. The 1961 introduction of Charleywood bread process was not really a line in the sand, as a lot of people suggest it was. It wasn't really. But secondly, the point I was going to make was that a study that we got conducted by an independent food research organisation demonstrated quite clearly that it doesn't matter how the bread was made or the various methods, the nutritional composition was the same.
Right, Gordon. Firstly, you're completely wrong there, because what Charleywood did was it did away with the natural raising and fermenting of the bread, and that is the fundamental change.
The bread is still proved after the mixing.
The bread is. Pr- improved at ultra high speeds and ultra high heat. It is not a natural leaven at all, and that is what real bakers aim for, because that is where you get flavor and that is where you get the development of bacteria, which is actually good for the human biome. So listen, Gordon, you know, quoting research by independent groups is all very well. If you paid the piper, they give whatever tune you want.
I knew you would say that because that's the sort of classic response. So you don't accept a report which argues against your case but produced by an independent food research organization. Paying the piper is too flippant an answer, I'm afraid. It doesn't answer your case.
But John, when you call for a ban on sliced pans or white bread as produced under the Chorleywood system, which I suspect most of our listeners hadn't heard about until about 15 minutes ago, how realistic is that?
It's not realistic at all, Sean. It's an ideal kind of position. I mean, rather the same, for example, as in the United States, in certain areas at the time, people are trying to add a taxation, even a 1% tax on what they call soda, on fizzy drinks. And, of course, the big drinks industry are spending an enormous fortune against it, the same as they've spent an enormous fortune and stop the labelling of genetically modified organisms. I mean, my job as a writer in the Irish Times is simply to say to people, are you actually aware of what you're eating? Are you aware of how this is produced? And do you actually understand that when you think you're eating the staff of life, you are eating something that is ultra-processed and is actually not made naturally? And
of course,
that's the problem.
Those kind of statements you just made are just ridiculous. Not made naturally. What does that mean?
Could you tell us the speed at which the mixers turn, Gordon, when they're working on the Chorleywood process?
Do you know the speed of your mixer at home? Oh, no, I don't know the speed. What difference does it make?
Okay, I think these points have been well aired and well aerated.
Different bakeries have different mixers.
Okay.
The difference is the speed. Who makes bread without mixing it?
We're going to leave it there. We'll let the question hang on that one. Gordon Poulsen, Director of the Federation of Bakers in the United Kingdom. John McKenna, author of several guidebooks on Irish food and restaurants, columnist in the Irish Times. Thank you both for joining us.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.